Holy and gracious God, today is Confirmation Sunday, and we are so excited to watch this new class of eighth graders affirm their faith and take their place in the congregation as full members. We ask that you watch over them, guide, guard, and protect them, and give them an extra measure of your grace so they may face life's challenges with courage and strength. This morning, you offer us a word of challenge. May our ears be open to hearing and receiving it. To that end, I ask that you might pour through me the gift of preaching, that these words might nudge each one of us just a little in the right direction. And we know that they will, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Confirmation Sunday. For the past year, my fellow teacher, Scott Beyer, and I have had the privilege of walking with our 14 eighth grade youth on their faith journey through the formative year called Confirmation. Every year, the Confirmation class has its own personality. You probably don't know that, but it does. One year, we taught the barbecue chicken pizza class. They were wild about it. Another year, all I remember was 9 boys, 3 girls, lots of energy. I don't even remember what we ordered for pizza, but we ordered an awful lot of it. This year's class was, from the beginning, very well behaved. They liked each other a lot, and they asked so many questions that we often had to shoo them out of the room at the end of the class, because I knew their parents were in the parking lot wondering, what on earth is going on in that barn? What could be so enthralling? Well, parents, we kept you waiting because your kids had lots of questions. Some of them could make a living asking questions. And one or two of them, and you know who you are, would be considered professional question askers. On her deathbed, Gertrude Stein is said to have asked 2 questions. The first one is, what is the answer? After a silence, she said, what is the question? The Bible is full of questions, stories that raise questions. And unlike the questions we ask every day for direction or clarification, the Bible stirs up the big questions. This year's Confirmation class has asked more than its fair share of questions, including, I'm mad at my brother or sister. Sometimes they're awful to me. I'm not responsible for their actions, am I? Also known as, am I my brother's keeper? Genesis 4:9. Where is God in the midst of suffering? Also known as, if God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Who creates the truth? Who created God? Who created time before time before time? Was there ever a time before God? Also known as, what is truth? John 18:38. One of my favorites was, I don't want to grow up. Do I have to be an adult? Also known as, what do people gain from all the toil at which they toil under the sun? Ecclesiastes 1:3. What do I do when I'm afraid, scared, alone? Also known as, whither shall I go from your spirit? Psalm 139:7. God wants me to help those people? Which people? Also known as, who is my neighbor? Luke 10:29. And finally, how do I get to heaven? Will there be a big welcome when I get there? And what about all those awful people in life? Will they be shut out? I need to know that they won't be in my hood because it'll bring down the neighborhood. Also known as, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Luke 10:25. Today we ask just one question, but because we're Presbyterians, it comes in three parts. What do I need to do to be spiritually healthy? The answer is a simple formula, worship plus two. Worship plus two is not a simple sauce. It is the rhythm of the Christian life, breathing in and breathing out God's love. Worship plus two is to a Christian what food, water, and sunshine is to a plant. Confirmation class of 2017, you have finished the requirements for completing the class, but this is definitely not graduation. We have said it over and over again. This is the beginning of your spiritual journey. This year, we have given you a strong foundation. How did we do it? A simple formula, worship plus two. Worship every week plus fellowship and mission, breathing in and breathing out. It is the rhythm of life that all mature Christians know, breathing in and breathing out God's love. Worship plus two does not protect us from harm, but it certainly helps us deal with whatever comes our way. When we exercise worship plus two on a regular basis, we are making regular deposits in our spiritual bank, and in difficult times, we can draw on these reserves to get us through. All year long, you have had so much fun filling out those worship evaluation forms for me. You know what liturgical season we are in. You can summarize the lesson and the sermon, probably as well as your parents. And I have really enjoyed the cartoons and the jokes and the helpful hints that you leave for me. Thank you. One of my favorites is, remember, less is more. So here is your short, to the point, easy to remember sermon. Worship plus two. Worship is at the core of everything we do as Christians. It is the core reason of our being. The Westminster Catechism states it is the chief end of humanity to glorify God and enjoy God forever. Here, in this place, what we do together as a community resets our clocks to God's time. It reminds us of what is truly important. For just 1 hour, we put down our phones, our emails, our to-do lists, and we sing, and we gather, and we remember who made us and whose we are. For some of us, this is some of the only downtime we get all week because we are go, go, go people. But make no mistake, the go, go, go lifestyle comes at a price. Psalm 100 says, we are the sheep of God's pasture. We are His. It is God who made us. Something is wrong. Sheep don't fly up and down the Merritt Parkway. Sheep don't fight for a parking space at Trader Joe's and Costco or try to catch the 5:30 train to Grand Central. Sheep graze and rest and enjoy green pastures, trusting their shepherd will lead them and keep them safe. So if we're going to catch a glimpse of what life is supposed to be, we're not going to catch it on Main Street or Elm Street. We're going to see it here. This is the vision. Worship is especially important when you are tired, worn out, cast down, worried, when you feel alone, dejected, depressed, stressed out, and need a break. Like food and rest is for the body, worship revives the soul. It reminds us of what is truly important. In worship, we hear messages that we don't hear anywhere else, like God is and was and always will be, like God will never leave our side, or God answers when we call. And finally, Jesus's final gift to us of peace, peace of heart, peace of mind, peace in our families, peace in our workplace. Worship is the first of three things you need to do every week if you are going to grow in your faith journey. Before we move on, let me clarify what worship is not, because it's easy to get confused. Worship is not Starbucks and the New York Times, as tempting as it is. And worship is not Sunday morning soccer games. And I get it. I have a daughter who plays on the travel team, on the A team. But when we come to worship, we honor the Sabbath. We take God's command to care for our spiritual health seriously. Honor the Sabbath is the fourth commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And when we break the commandment, we get off center. Worship reminds us who we are and whose we are. My daughter thinks that soccer is her life. It defines her. I need her to know that if she breaks her leg or doesn't make the team, that she is still valuable. Her value lies in her identity as a child of God, not as a fearless midfielder, although she's pretty awesome. The only place she will learn that message is here, in church. Worship plus two, it's a catchy phrase, isn't it? It is used by every denomination across the country. It is a call to spiritual health. So what's the plus two? The first is fellowship, breathing in and breathing out. We breathe in and breathe out God's love in some way every week. I am so lucky to work in a church. Every week I see people breathing in the life-giving air of fellowship. Fellowship reminds us that we are not alone. We are in this together. Church is a safe and sacred place for all of us. So when I go downstairs to get a cup of coffee, I hear the gentlemen songsters, the choir rehearsing. I hear women laughing and talking while filing the choir music. I see other women in the parlor sewing. I see Bible studies on Tuesday mornings and children's choirs rehearsing on Wednesdays and Sundays. And on Thursday afternoons, one of my favorite times is watching folks gather for special church. We have teas, dinners, icebreakers. You may ask, are Presbyterians particularly fond of partying? Sort of. It's really about fellowship, sharing our lives and talking about what is going on, and having fun and growing in our faith. Fellowship is breathing in God's love every week. You need to do it every week. A friend of mine once said, "Church is the only place I take off my mask." I think that's one of the most profound statements I have heard about church in a long time. We are never going to grow in our faith unless we have a group of friends, real friends, with whom we can feel comfortable enough to talk openly about what is going on, where we are struggling, and the places it is going well. Church is the original no judgment zone. If you think of fellowship as breathing in God's love, mission is breathing out God's love to those who need it. So why do we do mission and outreach? Because God created us in the image of Christ. And Christ showed us that the best way to live is not for ourselves, but serving others. In Latin, it's just two words, non sibi, not for self. No matter what we do for a living, whether we are doctors or lawyers or financial advisors, we serve. When we teach with compassion. And if we are doctors, we treat our patients and really care about their well-being. Mission is giving back to others in concrete ways. Outreach is caring for others in our own community, and we do this well, bringing meals and delivering flowers and visiting at the hospital, sometimes having lunch or making a phone call. This confirmation class, through the years, have thrived in this area. They have given dollar bills to support families and World Vision, purchasing a duck or a goat. One year we bought a cow. It took several weeks, several months, in fact, but we celebrated. You have brought and sorted groceries for the New Canaan Food Pantry. Just 3 weeks ago, we sorted 50 to 60 bags of groceries for the New Canaan Food Pantry. We have stuffed bags for filling in the blanks for those who are, for children who are food insecure on weekends. We have worked at Feed My Starving Children. We have painted houses on 30-hour famine weekends. We love making a difference. It's not that we believe that we can make all the difference in the world, but we know that we can do something. And that is liberating. Mission reshapes us. It makes us more Christ-like. It resets our clocks, resets our priorities, and resets our value system. Now, I know you're thinking, oh my gosh, it's May, not one more thing. I can't add one more thing. No more things. Can't add one more thing to my plate. Bite-sized pieces. With fellowship and mission, think in terms of bite-sized pieces. At this point in your life, young confirmands, the biggest gift you give to God is your time and your talents. But when you get a little older, you will realize, like your parents, the biggest lesson of all. And that is that we are remembered for what you give and not what you get. And the best guide for this is the parable of the widow's mite. A rich man gave out of his plenty, but a poor widow gave just two coins, two small coins. And the Lord said she made the greater contribution because she gave all she had. Our confirmation class gave at 100% this year. They made a pledge. They sat there and calculated out their allowance, and they each wrote down a number ranging from $5 to $10 to $15 to $20. Together, they gave over $300. The very next week, one of them came to me with an envelope with rolled up dollar bills that were sort of smoothed out, you know, the way kids do, all ones, some quarters, some nickels, some dimes. She handed it to me and said, "It's all there. I counted it twice. It's everything I have." I looked at her inquisitively and she said, "I was here for the stewardship sermon and they said we needed to do some things to make our church the best it can be. And I wanted to do my part. I'm all in." These kids are all in. I am all in. Are you? Let's make this church the best it can be. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.